Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Maybe Rimsky-Korsakov was on to something with this piece, Scheherazade, his fanciful homage to the Arabian Nights. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and in the next hour, we'll meet a Wagnerian opera star who spends her free time fishing, and four new CDs that you should check out. But first, the arts follow money, and the money is gushing in the United Arab Emirates. This month, there are two classical music festivals taking place in Abu Dhabi. Stars like violinist Sarah Chang, soprano Anna Netrebko, and the London Philharmonic are landing in this city of luxury hotels, gleaming skyscrapers, and searing heat. Meanwhile, in the nearby emirate of Dubai, a lavish new opera house is rising, of course, on an artificial island. It all raises the question, can Western culture flourish in the Persian Gulf? In a moment, we'll talk to a producer of a major music festival in Abu Dhabi. But joining us first is Neil McKim. Neil is an editor at BBC Music Magazine. He traveled to Abu Dhabi last year. Neil, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hello.
You're on the phone with us, obviously, from London, but you've traveled to Abu Dhabi. You've written about the city and the music festival there. Give us the big picture. What are they trying to do by bringing classical music festivals? Do they want to be the next Vienna, the next New York?
Well, I think it's very much the situation out there is if they want to do something, they just do it. And that's very much Abu Dhabi and kind of bringing in the whole development over there with the Louvre, the new classical performing arts centre. And I think the festival is testament to that. It's in its sixth year now.
So it's they've, as you mentioned, they're building their own Louvre.
That's right.
There will be an outpost of the Guggenheim Museum there as well, a big performing arts center designed by the celebrated architect Zaha Hadid, and there is actually a photo of her design on our website at WNYC.org. So in trying to become a cultural capital a la New York or London or Vienna, do they run the risk of instead becoming another Las Vegas, you know, where it's kind of forced and artificial?
I think it's comparable in that they're both deserts, obviously. and that struck me coming from the UK. I wouldn't say it's garish, though. The actual local community are very proud of their Bedouin traditions, and that's something that comes across everywhere you go. There's a big Western influx there. It's very serious. I think it's very cultured. They're looking at, this classical music festival is part of that, basically.
So you mentioned that you know, they're proud of their Bedouin heritage, which, you know, we're not talking about ancient history here either. So how much of that is kind of in sync with this sudden infusion of Western culture?
I suppose it's the oil, really, isn't it? And the money that's come from the oil. And they're building up a culture from the roots. And with the festival, they very much program in the local community. There's Abu Dhabi students were performing this year, I see. Mm-hmm. And certainly last year when I was there, we went to the Women's College of Technology, and the festival performers were actually encouraged to go and perform to the students and encourage questions from the students.
All right, we're speaking with Neil McKim in London. He is an editor at BBC Music Magazine. And joining us now from Abu Dhabi is Ian Smallbone. He's Senior Vice President and Managing Director at IMG Artists, a New York-based agency that sponsors the Abu Dhabi Music and Arts Festival. Ian, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you very much.
So you've got some big-name artists on the agenda for this year, Anna Netrebko, the violinist Sarah Chang, the London Philharmonic. What is IMG's interest in this? Why Abu Dhabi?
Well, it's a new market for IMG artists. It's a new market for the classical music world. It's somewhere that only a few years ago really only did major attractions, entertainment events of the kind that Dubai is more familiar with down the road. And Abu Dhabi now, which is actually the capital and the largest of the Emirates, is flexing its muscles and wanting to be noticed on the international stage and wanting to make a statement in the serious arts, in the classical arts.
And with, you know, it is an oil-rich state, so presumably there's enough money to make it worth the artist's while for them to make the flight to Abu Dhabi. Or at least that was the initial, you know, response that I and our producers had. Is that in fact the case there?
Well, it's very easy to leap to that kind of conclusion. I mean, I think the thing about the arts is they're not always as spectacularly funded as they might seem, even in wealthy Western countries. But I think there's a big drive to invest in the arts and culture as something that a developing society in a developing city such as Abu Dhabi wishes to do, and certainly it's needing to pay its way, but that's inevitable in order to be able to attract some of the biggest and most exciting names in classical music. They're coming somewhere that in their minds doesn't necessarily equate with what is more familiar to them as classical audiences and an environment for classical music.
It does seem that the program, the repertoire, is actually quite conservative. Sarah Chang is doing Vivaldi's Four Seasons. You know, the classical hits.
It's very conservative. This is, in a sense, going back to basics. If you imagine anywhere having to build up an audience and make people feel comfortable listening to music, some of whom are obviously very familiar with, but others who are experiencing something new are not that necessarily that haven't grown up with this kind of musical culture. You need to be able to present the mainstream classical repertoire, which may seem staged to others, but is exciting and new to many.
Now, who's the audience there? I mean, are you getting mostly locals from the Emirates, the people that, as Neil was saying before, are still proud of their Bedouin heritage, or are you getting mostly expatriates?
It's quite a mix, actually. I mean, Abu Dhabi is a very large educated society. The UAE is generally a very well-educated country. There's a big Western community here, a lot of well-traveled Emiratis, who many of whom studied abroad, and especially in the UK and in the States and Canada, and a lot of well-educated and extremely world-wise young people who there's a strong sense of aspiration here, and this is, in a sense, a natural progression.
Ian Smallbone is on the phone with us from the city of Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates, where there are not one but two classical music festivals in the month of March. Let me go back to Neil McKim in London at the BBC Music Magazine. Neil, when you were at last year's festival, how much non-Western music, how much of the Arab classical tradition was represented?
Well, there was a fair bit, and they showcased oud player Shahbal Rouhana, who's from the Lebanon. And in the concert, it started with Claude Shahoub, who's a violinist from... He was actually director at Brownboyne's West Eastern Divan Orchestra in the 90s, and that orchestra as such is a very crossover orchestra.
Right, both Arab classical and Western classical instruments.
That's right.
And Marcel Khalife, wasn't he part of, he was been part of the festival in the past as well?
That's right, yes.
And he too, you know, actually combines both Western and non-Western orchestral instruments. Actually, let's hear a little bit of Marcel Khalife's music. Takassim is the name of this piece. Thank you. music from the oud player and composer Marcel Khalife, his Takassim, an example of some of the music that has been a part of the Abu Dhabi Music and Arts Festival in the past. The current edition of the festival runs through April 2nd in the United Arab Emirates. There is a second festival, the Al Ain Classical Music Festival, that took place earlier this month and ended earlier this week. On the line with us from Abu Dhabi is Ian Smallbone from IMG Artists, who sponsor the festival. And with us from the London studios of the BBC Music Magazine is Neil McKim. Ian, you're there in Abu Dhabi. Let me ask you how regional or local a phenomenon this is. I mean, there are seven emirates within the United Arab Emirates. We've mentioned Dubai. Is there any kind of rivalry between Abu Dhabi and Dubai, a keeping up with the Joneses or the Saeeds or whatever name I should use?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the people who live here. There is a sense of rivalry, but it's a healthy rivalry, and in many ways they're looking to achieve different things. It's not a negative competition at all. This is a very fast developing environment, and anybody who's seeking to develop in the cultural field so quickly is inevitably going to look like they're competing. But we see it as a very healthy phenomenon that there's more than one festival here. This can only be a good thing.
Well, Newsweek magazine reports that Dubai is actually the fastest growing place on the planet. Last year, over 2,200 buildings completed at a cost of over $3.5 billion. Neil, you write in your article about how the city looks when you're driving there from the airport. It all sounds really quite splendid. Could this sort of thing, this sort of exponential growth, not just of buildings, but of culture as well, could this happen anywhere else in the Persian Gulf?
I'm not sure about that, to be honest. I think it is quite unique in that sense, in that it does seem to be a catalyst for this kind of drive. And I think the UAE has kind of driven that. And as we were just saying with Dubai as well, the two seem to be doing that. And it's a very safe area as well, which probably helps.
Now, a week from this Saturday, all eyes in the thoroughbred horse racing world will be on Dubai, because it's the richest day of racing in the annual calendar, the Dubai World Cup. And the irony is that this richest day of horse racing happens in a country where you cannot bet on the races. So is there an analogy to be made here in terms of importing Western musical culture? I mean, are there strictures, are there restrictions just kind of built into the culture in the United Arab Emirates that make this perhaps an uncomfortable fit? For example, women's rights and having to wear headscarves and things like that. Ian?
Gosh, there are lots of questions there. The analogy with the horse racing, I'm not sure if it fits. The developing interest in Western culture in particular is, I think, a reflection of the fact that this is a very international environment. The domestic population, the Emirati population, is relatively small next to the expatriate population, and I include obviously a lot of people from Asia as well as Europe and North America. The cultures are fundamentally different from the Western context, but they are all it's all complementary. The horses have been part of this world culture for forever. Mm-hmm. Music is also inherently part of this culture, and some of the things that we're presenting in the festival certainly reflect that. We have
Ian, I guess what I'm asking you, Ian, is something a bit more specifically cultural. For example, Sarah Chang shows up. Does she have to, can she wear a normal evening dress that she would wear at Carnegie Hall,
yes,
maybe
absolutely
off the shoulders, yes, or does she have to keep covered up?
There's a little bit of modesty expected of artists coming here, and I think that's entirely natural out of respect for local customs. But this is in many ways, a very liberal society. people, as long as they don't overdo it, can wear pretty well what they like. Mm-hmm. And artists are extremely sensitive to the people that they stand up and perform to, and tend to have extremely good instincts in that regard. And we're not at all worried about that. And there's no sense of restriction in that regard, if that's what you're asking.
Okay. That is, in fact, what I was asking. Ian Smallbone on the line with us from the city of Abu Dhabi, where his agency, IMG, sponsors the Abu Dhabi Music and Arts Festival. Neil McKim's with us from the studios of BBC Music Magazine in London. Neil, I mentioned horse racing, but of course camel racing is still very big on the Arabian Peninsula. You actually visited a camel market while you were there?
Yes, that's quite correct.
About local color.
Yeah, that was quite an experience. I mean, it's a bit like the canteen in Star Wars. It had that kind of feeling about it, really. Very, very chaotic. Lots of dust flying around. These guys trading camels, shouting, and very different to the city, which is completely safe. This had a bit of an edge to it, I'd say.
And it seems to coexist with, all the new buildings and the gleaming new art center and the culture that's being imported?
Well, this is kind of out of town, so it's not next door, literally, to all the big cities. This is a market. It's actually, I believe, one of the last of its kind in the UAE, and Arab traders come from all around.
All right, let me go back to Ian Smallbone to ask a question actually about one of the artists taking place in this year's festival, the Lebanese composer and soprano Hiba Al-Kawas. Yes. Who is she? What's her story?
She's one of the leading Lebanese artists, composer. She's actually composed a number of works, especially for this evening. She's worked a lot across the Middle East. She's extremely well known. She's worked a little bit in Eastern Europe and almost unknown in the West. And we don't actually know her personally, so we're rather excited to be seeing her on stage. And she's performing rather uniquely with the orchestra of the Bolshoi Theatre, who are otherwise here with the ballet.
Wow! You mentioned that you don't know her, so she's not an IMG artist.
No, she's not an IMG artist. None of the Arab artists are represented by IMG artists. We, in this capacity as producer rather than sponsor, as you mentioned, of the festival, this is a program driven process. It's not driven by who we represent.
So not intended to be a showcase for IMG artists.
No, not specifically. I mean, it's a happy coincidence where it happens, but it's not necessarily a deliberate one.
All right, let's hear a little bit of music from Hiba Al-Kawas, the Lebanese composer and soprano, and part of this year's festival in Abu Dhabi. Her name is Hiba Al-Kawas. She is a very popular Lebanese composer and soprano. Yaduka is the name of the song, and she is part of this year's annual Abu Dhabi Music and Arts Festival, which runs through April 2nd. And we are speaking with Ian Smallbone on the line from Abu Dhabi, where he is helping to produce this event. And on the phone, or rather in the studios in London of the BBC Music Magazine, is Neil McKim, who's an editor at BBC Music Magazine. And gentlemen, to both of you, there is a kind of key question that this whole thing raises. I mean, intellectuals in the Arab world have taken Abu Dhabi to task for kind of slavishly promoting Western rather than indigenous culture. Obviously, Ian, we've heard a couple of excerpts of music that do represent Arab culture. But I guess the question is, can you buy culture from outside? Can it be imported the way you would import, you know, rice or wool or anything else?
I think the let me answer that slightly differently from how you've put the question. This is about the meeting of cultures, an opportunity for people to experience a whole range of different musical presentations. And I think it's fair to say that Abu Dhabi regards itself as a meeting place of Western and Eastern cultures.
And Neil, same question to you. Can this work?
Yes, I think it can. And I think, you know, the whole point of a music festival is for different cultures to get together wherever the music festival is.
All right. Well, in that sense, the collision of Western orchestral music and Lebanese singing with Hiba Al-Kawas performing with the Bolshoi's Theater Orchestra is a good case in point. In the background, some music from Nasir Shama, who will be performing on April 1st at the Emirates Palace Auditorium as part of the festival. Let me thank both of our guests, Neil McKim, editor at the BBC Music Magazine, Ian Smallbone at IMG Artists, on the phone with us from Abu Dhabi. Gentlemen, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you very much.
Coming up next, from Mahler to Molly, Soundcheck's CD Picks of the Week. And then Michelle de Jong. She's one of today's most in-demand mezzo-sopranos, doing recitals one night and Wagner the next. She'll join us in just a short while. This is Soundcheck.